Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Tony. This is how dedicated I am to my craft, our craft, our thing that we do here right now. I could be down at Everbank right now, touring the club seats
in anticipation of free food
at 11 o'clock for the media. But, hey, if I wasn't on the weight loss kick, that's probably where I'd be right now. But you know how many miles I walked yesterday?
Seven.
Ten. 10 miles in the blazing heat, baby.
Playing that Pokemon.
22 pounds is where I'm at.
You'd be playing that Pokemon if you're walking 10 miles.
Right? I mean, can you sell those things? Like, when you collect them, can you trade them with
sure
other people?
I'm sure there's a black market somewhere.
They're going to add. Like that? It's like the next update. They're saying they're going to add that you can trade.
Is that right?
Yeah, like it's coming. It's coming.
Maybe I should. You know what? All I do, I put my phone, I plug my headset into my phone, and I throw my phone up on YouTube.
I don't know how many Pokestops they have out there.
I don't
know. Shores.
Why not, man? I mean, it's a big expanse that I'm covering with the
10 miles. You ought to run into one or two.
10 miles. I went 6 in the morning, and then I went 4 in the late afternoon, and it was.
You could seriously hatch some eggs walking 10 miles, man.
I was out there with you Saturday at practice.
Yes.
And then you were there last night. Tyler was there last night as well with the night practice. Give me the rundown. What did I miss last night?
They did some red zone work last night. It's the first time I've seen them do that. They were in the shells again, so not full pads until tomorrow at practice. But in the shells again last night, and it was pretty physical out there. There was one play where Mercedes had a catch over the middle of the field, and he was kind of stumbling as he caught it, went down, and his helmet went right into the thigh, basically, of Deshaun Gibson. It was a pretty good collision there. I can't remember who it was, but Peyton Thompson just laid somebody out. I mean, it was like he forgot where he was for a second and just completely clobbered a guy.
Are you surprised it didn't happen more often?
Yeah.
Blake
got popped again last night on a goal line play. He took off and ran. And he might have scored, who knows, you know, with that kind of, I can't tell,
right,
you know, if
right.
someone had tackled him or not. But as he was crossing the goal line, he got popped pretty good. The ball went flying up into the air. You can hear everybody on the field going, ooh, like, you know, this is not something we're
right.
going to be doing with the quarterback, because Yannick ran into him on Saturday, too. So Blake's taken a shot the last couple of days. But Peyton Thompson, it was one of the backup receivers, ran a route over the middle of the field, and it was like he just forgot. For half a second, because the guy was just wide open.
But his football instincts take over.
Oh, yeah, and he just flipped him. I mean, he completely flipped him up in the air, and, you know, the guy got right back up and, you know, smacked him or whatever. And I turned to Marcel. I think I was standing by from CW at the time.
Sure.
And I was like, he's going to remember this Tuesday. Like, whoever that was, he may be okay, cool with that shot right now, but they're going to remember that kind of shot.
Oh, yeah, pads go on tomorrow. Pads go on. Marcel Robinson, by the way, cameraman, photographer extraordinaire for CW17.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Jeff asked who stood out. The 2 days that I've been out there to actually watch practice, it's hard not to say Jalen Ramsey. I mean, he's just such the athlete that he is. It shows up. He's kind of like Marquise Lee I've talked about in the past. When you show up to practice, if he's in for a rep, you're like, oh, there's Marquise. You know, you just kind of want to watch that guy. Jalen's the same type of guy. I thought that comparing Saturday to Sunday for Miles Jack, I watched him a lot whenever he was in there with the second-team defense and running a lot of nickel as the middle linebacker last night. But he seems like he's getting more comfortable by the day. There's still times where he kind of washes himself out of place. He just runs himself out of them a little bit. But it feels like going even from Saturday to Sunday, he was a lot more comfortable. Just in the reps that I was watching him, which is a good sign.
You know, and Dante Fowler Jr. to me, I talked about this with some people on the sidelines on Saturday. Just, he is going to be a load for people to handle. He looks the part. He got the night off, I guess, last night, which is fine. You know what I mean? It's fine because you're giving him the night off because you worked him hard consecutive days in the heat. Didn't miss any of the offseason. And Tony, no matter who he was matched up against, he was either hurting him with his speed or he was stacking the line of scrimmage with power and was doing it on both sides of the line. And it's hard to take your eyes off that guy. And, you know, I was watching Luke Jokel, so he got matched up with him sometimes. And, boy, I felt for Luke. I felt for anybody who had to go up against him. Saw Beecham playing a lot of guard on Saturday. What was the offensive line breakout on the first team primarily last night?
Beecham was tackling, Jokel was guard last night.
Flipped them up.
So they're just switching those guys day by day, at least for now. We'll see if that changes once they get into pads. I don't think it will until we get through one or two preseason games. That may be when they finally decide, okay, this is the guy that's going to play this position now. But I got a feeling for the next 2 weeks we're probably going to watch this guy switch it up.
I think so, too. And then the third preseason game, whoever they project to start at left tackle will probably start at left tackle. And if they don't embarrass themselves, I think the competition's probably over at that point
probably.
In time. You know, so we'll see how that all plays out. If you're out there over the course of the weekend, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, at any of the open practices for the Jags, love your feedback on what you saw and what caught your eye at 641-1010 on the phone lines. Also, the text line driven by Duval Ford. Interesting, you brought up Jalen Ramsey. You're going to hear Gus Bradley refer to him in a very interesting context from Saturday. And it just how quickly he is really making his mark with this Jaguars defense. We'll hear more from Gus from last night. We'll hear from Tayshaun Gibson. We'll hear from Julius Thomas throughout the course of the program as we get you all caught up on the weekend in Jaguar football. And as I'm looking right now at some photos coming out of the U.S. Ashore Club reveal going on down at Everbank Field. 122 new food and beverage items in 2016, tweets Alex Brooks, a member of the PR staff for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they are definitely trying to upgrade that game day experience, continuing to press the envelope on that, and I'm sure we'll get a full report on that from some of the guys we talked to throughout the course of the week. We're down there right now, and I'm sure many from 1010XL are taking it in. I would be, like I said, if you know, if it weren't for watching the girlish figure right now. All right, so Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, just underway. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. Just kicking off another week tomorrow. The Jags on the practice field in full pads as they'll be out there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night scrimmage. Oh, my goodness, Tony White. We got the Hall of Fame game this weekend with the Packers-Colts.
And it's done.
And we're a week away from the preseason opener.
It's done. You have just – yesterday was the last weekend. It ended the last weekend without football on your television of some sort. Between now and Super Bowl Sunday.
Granted, I will watch a quarter of the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to watch much of it.
But, right.
You know, I'll flip it on and watch the three plays.
Right, if that, a quarter. I'll watch a drive. Right, we'll watch...
I do usually watch, like, most of the Hall of Fame ceremony itself.
Do you?
On Saturday, I usually watch a lot of that.
The speeches.
I think it's kind of cool.
Ah, can't do it. I never do. I mean, I can do it, I suppose. I just choose not to is... You know, I don't know. You always hear about the good ones anyway. You can go back and watch them later.
Well,
know?
And honestly, the ones I prefer, I grew up a big Favre fan, so this weekend's kind of cool to watch him going into the Hall of Fame. He was my first favorite player, but I always enjoy, like, the old-timers. You know, the guys that I didn't get to watch.
Right.
And watching somebody talk about why this guy is a Hall of Famer is kind of cool. Like, I know why Brett Favre is going in the Hall of Fame. You know, I know why Marvin Harrison is going into the Hall of Fame. I watch those guys play. I got an idea of that, but it's the older players that I'm like, I don't even remember them. And it's like, oh, and it's kind of cool to hear the stories about their playing career, that kind of stuff. I'm always interested in that.
Let me throw out the question of the day, which I have failed to do thus far. Failure on my part is assumed. But the question is simply this in terms of the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. Road trips. How many are you taking? Will you take any road trips to watch Jags this year? And if so, to which games are you planning on doing that? We've had a lot of people weigh in already this morning from across the pond. Hey, we're making road trips to Everbank, and that's fine. We just want to know, where are you traveling to see your Jags? Where are you going from, and where are you going to see the Jags play? I just saw one come in a moment ago, as a matter of fact. Scott Adams on Twitter, svadams_com. Want to go to Nashville, got to get the days off and find a partner in crime. You got about 1,000 partners in crime that are probably heading up there from the Bold City Brigade.
Mm-hmm.
Go to boldcitybrigade.com and you'll get more details as they are released on their planned road trips to Nashville for Thursday Night Football and to San Diego for the Charger game in week two,
yeah.
I believe, is
and
what Cap said last week.
If you're planning on going to either one of those and you want to hang out with Jaguars fans, hold off, I would say, even on purchasing your tickets for those games because they'll have a block.
Right.
I'm just not sure if they're selling any of that stuff yet. But
strength in numbers.
Yeah, they'll have a block of tickets that'll be the Bold City Brigade block, plus you'll get access to the tailgate beforehand so you don't have to worry about any of that. Game day is basically taken care of for you. by the BCB if you just want to hold off on it.
Yeah, it's a great deal. Absolutely great deal. So check that out, BoldCityBrigade.com. Also, we'll get to some of this audio here from over the weekend, including Gus Bradley. A reminder, you can answer the question of the day on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at 1010XL, Tyler, and on the text line driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010 on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We're all over the place on your computer. You turn on your computer, there we are. All right? Pretty soon that may be actually the case from what we're being threatened with.
It's
down
at
Everbank. I'm not happy with this at all.
I'm not sure that we get a vote, but they're going to turn on the cameras when we're in there.
Yeah, I think you and I should come up with, at least me, I should come up with a cardboard cutout of someone much better looking than myself and just sit behind it and do the program like that. What do you think?
That's not a bad idea.
Like, Ryan?
If we brought in huge cutouts, we had like a Brad Pitt and a Chris Hemsworth cutout.
Yes.
Right? We just set them there and we set behind the camera.
There
like
you
these
go.
Two guys are now hosting Jaguars Today. That'd be awesome.
Mike and Tony.
I think this means both of you guys will be wearing makeup. No.
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 We don't wear makeup for the fantasy football stuff either. We don't put on makeup.
No. Not for a webcast. Sorry, buddy. Ain't happening. We're not. What do you think we are, Brent Martino? That guy is unbelievable. He walks around with a little compact. You see him out there, at Jaguar. Practice.
Always a little bit of foundation.
Get ready
Brent.
For a live. You never know. I understand. It's part of the job. All right. Gus Bradley on Saturday, Tony, you and I both found this interesting as we were leaving practice, discussing what he had to say, what were some of the highlights. He was asked about Dwayne Gratz and Demetrius McCray. Demetrius McCray had a nice pass breakup down the field that I recall on a what would have been a deep completion, maybe 30, 40 yards down the field, and broke that up. That was one play that jumped out at me. You know, these guys have to understand there's no scholarship anymore on this team. The talent level has increased in the secondary. They may be competing head-to-head for one job. And Gus was asked about this, but specifically pay attention as he interjects about Jalen Ramsey into this, what Gus Bradley had to say.
McCray, you know, just a little bit I saw today. Now, with he's done a good job. Gratz, you know, we're playing him more at nickel. He is showing up. I think that, you know, Jalen's got some physical traits that are unique. He's got really good length. And you see him, you're watching on the line of scrimmage. He does a good job playing press technique. And I think that sends a message to the whole group like, hey, this is how it should look like. And you're seeing guys play more to that technique now. You know, and then other guys are doing some things that he can learn from. But, you know, I think it's overall it's helped because of the stronger competition with him.
Yeah, overall, some other guys are doing some things he can learn from too, kind of.
Like, I go back to the conversation we had with Gus before the season got started, you know, coming out of OTAs and mini camp and had the opportunity to talk to him a little bit. And he mentioned the fact that, yeah, we saw Jalen for a couple of days and I said, we need to get this guy working at nickel, right? Like it was all after a couple of days, like we need to get this guy some work at nickel. And I think it's kind of funny that continues, right? Like after every day of practice, someone asks about Jalen and he mentions the fact that, yeah, we're working him in both spots. And then he gets asked a question about two completely different guys. And he starts talking about the nickel because he mentions Dwayne Gratz, and he can't help himself but compliment Jalen Ramsey again for what he's giving them in that position right now.
He talked about specifically not just his athleticism, which was the first thing he mentioned, but the technique that he plays press coverage with and how good he is technique-wise as a young guy. And we're saying to Gratz, look at him. That's what it's supposed to look like?
Yeah.
First of all, and I'm sure Gus meant this. You know, knowing Gus a little bit, Gus meant this as a positive towards Jalen Ramsey, as if to say, look how advanced this guy is already walking in the door. You know, he's got not just this ability, but he's got some technique to pair with it. That's why we think he's going to be a really good player very early. But you can read that, Tony, as a scathing indictment of what, Dwayne Walker, have you not taught the man the proper press coverage technique in 3 years now? I mean, why do you need a rookie to come in his third practice and show you what it looks like? And I think Gus is just saying, wow, you know, look, we didn't even have to show him much. This guy gets it. He knows what it looks like. That's how to play it at a high level. Hey, Grazi, take a look at that. I'm quite sure they're coaching him up on the proper technique and things like that. It's just, again, I think it's more complimentary of Jalen Ramsey. It was just a funny way of putting it, though. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of threw in, and there's some other stuff that some of these guys could teach him as well. Can you name any? what are some of those things that these other corners can teach Jalen Ramsey right now? I'm not I'm not seeing a whole lot of that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we had talked to guys that had been out of practice for the first couple of days. We were at the field, but we can't see a whole lot. And everyone we talked to was very complimentary about what they had seen from Jalen Ramsey. And look, it was the first time anybody had seen Jalen except the Jaguars on the field. He was around for rookie orientation for whatever workouts they were doing, but he wasn't around for any of the rest of the offseason. So Thursday last week was the first chance that anybody got a chance to see Jalen Ramsey. And I went out on Saturday, went out again on Sunday, and you watch him, and he just glides. Like, he's such a big athlete, but he just glides. It's still, it's amazing to me how easy it looks for Jalen Ramsey, even early on. Now, it was funny. I think Mike Kay posted the Vine after practice on Saturday. They did a little bit of the one-on-one session on Saturday, and Jalen Ramsey got matched up with Allen Robinson, which those two guys sharpening up each other should be fun throughout the season, just to have a guy of that caliber to go up against Allen Robinson. And there was one rep that he put online where A-Rob just broke him. I mean, just broke him on a corner route. And you could see Jalen, like, Allen Robinson scored the touchdown, whatever, and Jalen was furious. Like, immediately after, he's, like, stamping, and he's so mad at himself for letting him get that step on him. And it was great to see A-Rob do that. And I think it's great to see Ramsey, who's a rookie, his third day of training camp, that is already upset that the Pro Bowler could beat him.
Right.
You know, in a one-on-one, he's like, this guy shouldn't be able to beat me. I'm freaking Jalen Ramsey. Despite the fact that Allen Robinson is an accomplished player in this league already, I thought that was great to see on both sides of that.
You know, earlier this offseason, we talked about who will have the bigger impact, which rookie will have the bigger impact on the team this year. And I leaned towards Miles Jack, because I do think there's more need of his impact in that linebacking core. But I just think that right now you look at Ramsey getting basically thrown into the fire, and I think they're bringing Jack along a little bit more slowly because he's going to have more responsibility in terms of calling defenses.
Yeah.
And Paul Posluszny, it's pretty clear. Paul understands that you've heard him talk in the last few days that this is the guy. He's coming for my job, basically, right? It may not happen this year. We all understand that he is the future of the position. I'll say this for Miles Jack. He is lucky to have a guy like Paul Posluszny, even if it's for a season. Maybe it'll be more. We don't know. To kind of really learn the professional ropes under and what it takes to call a defense at the professional level. It doesn't look like his head's swimming out there. But, again, you know, doing that with the second team, being able to watch Posluszny do it as opposed to Ramsey getting thrown right into the fire and using him as the example of what other guys need to look at to learn to hone their technique
Sure. Shows
you where he is right now.
Yeah, and you could see it, you know, just being out there the last couple of days. Whenever Miles is out there for a rep, that's who I'm watching. You know, no matter who else is on the field, I'm watching Miles Jack because obviously I was a big fan of him throughout the draft process, and I want to see, you know, the way he's adjusting. And there are times when you see that flash of that athlete that you saw at UCLA out there on the practice field where it's all instinct for him, and it's so much fun to watch. I mean, there was a play where the snap came, he took a step forward because of a play-action fake, then he dropped back into his own coverage, and then he just darted out to the side to go catch the guy coming out of the backfield in man coverage, and it was incredible just watching the athlete reacting to what was happening in front of him, had the guy blanketed. There was another time where he had the zone basically in the middle of the field, so he took off to run with a tight end up the seam. And, I mean, he was 5 yards behind the guy when he turned, and within three steps, he's caught up to him. I mean, he's just that kind of athlete, and it's watching it at times of practice and seeing that and going, yeah. And there are times when even in the run game, you could see him stack it up and fill the right gap. And there were a couple times when even I'm watching going, ooh, you know, like he didn't get to that spot. And that's probably where Miles should have been on that play. And you could see the coaches come and talk to him and say, this is what you should have saw, blah, 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 blah. I mean, he's still getting coached up after every rep. Jalen is out there, and it feels like there are times when the ball gets snapped, nothing seems fast for Jalen Ramsey. Nothing is too fast for Jalen on the field, and for it to look that way for a guy that's going into his first week of NFL training camp is incredible.
Right.
I mean, it looks like it's slow for Jalen already, and guys just don't come in and look like that as rookies. They just don't.
Well, not many have for the Jags in recent vintage, let's put it that way. And they do, from time to time, come in and look like that, and you start to hear that buzz around the league about those guys. And you may start to begin to hear that buzz about Jalen Ramsey if he carries us over in the preseason games as well. We've got plenty more from Gus Bradley coming up. That was just a look back to one thing he said on Saturday afternoon. But we've got him from last night, Gus's comments after the night practice today off for the Jacksonville Jaguars to get their bodies a little bit of a rest before they go into full pads for the next 3 days with the scrimmage coming up on Friday. So we'll hear from Gus coming up, and a little bit later on, Julius Thomas and Tashaun Gibson will all, both weigh in on what they've seen from the first few days of Jaguars training camp as it gets real tomorrow. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, semi-auto pistols, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns. You know where, at Wild West Guns and Gold, guns4jax.com. That's the website, guns4jax.com, or stop by and see them at South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Jags with a day off, back on the practice field tomorrow, but we had you covered over the course of the weekend on what went down out of the Florida Blue practice fields with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Marquise Lee not yet back at practice, although T.J. Yeldon, I guess, was last night, Tony, and that's good. They said, as Gus said on Saturday, I use the phrase day-to-day. That's more of a day-to-day thing with T.J. Yeldon. But Chris Ivory is, again, Chris Ivory's going to look better. The more contact that's allowed, the better he's going to look.
Sure.
But he's still drawn some raves from some of his teammates saying, wow, he's quicker than I thought he would be, or looked really quick. You know, you think of him as a power guy, not a speed quickness guy, but he's right now they're talking about him as a complete back type of guy. And that, clearly, in my mind, the lead end of, if you want to call it a committee, fine, but he's going to get the majority of the committee. And I'm not saying he's going to get 90% of it, but maybe pushing 60%, kind of a 60-40 between he and T.J. Yeldon right now.
Yeah, I've kind of swung that way, too, here in the last, the last couple weeks of the offseason program and going into training camp as well. But Yeldon was back on the field last night, as I said. They did some red zone work for the first time last night, a little bit of goal line as well, and Yeldon actually scored a touchdown on a pass out of the backfield at one point in time, just a little arrow route coming out of the backfield. So it was good to see him. You know, he's good enough to be out there doing that kind of thing, and scored last night in his first practice back out on the practice field. So it was good. He looked fine, you know, and you kind of got the sense that it was nothing, you know, with the ankle injury for him anyway, but if you're in a competition to see who's going to get the
that's
bulk of
the thing,
carry,
right?
You don't want to work any kind of time or lose any kind of time and missing a couple practices. I'm sure he was not very happy about that.
Gus Bradley, after practice, met with the media, as is his custom throughout training camp, to do that on a daily basis. And he talked about, the, among other things, the decision to practice last night.
I was very pleased with the way the practice went. I think it was a good change. We talked to our players at the beginning of training camp. You'll see some changes in how we're going about it. Today was one of those days where we decided to practice that night. Just talking to them out there, they really enjoyed it. I think, you know, sometimes when you practice in this environment like this, you really can concentrate on your technique. You know, sometimes that heat, you know, it, you know, you hope that it doesn't become an issue. But I just think the change up and the flow of practice was very good. Saw a heavy emphasis in the red zone tonight. I think that amped it up even more. Very competitive situations, and it'd be a really good tape to watch for us.
And my fat ass sweated out 4 pounds standing there on Saturday. No, that's not a joke either. I mean, 4 pounds, Tony. I came home 4 pounds lighter than when I left the house. So I think he's right. Sometimes some of these, look, it's good to practice in the heat if you can acclimate yourself. And I truly do believe, much like Keenan McCardell told us, now a little over a week ago, about how the Steelers came in and they had a melting in the fourth quarter. They could not handle the humidity heat combo. I'm sure Green Bay's not going to be ready for it. Look, it can get hot up in Wisconsin. I don't think they're going to be. I think that's an advantage you've got to press, but there is something to, you look around at guys and how many of these guys are thinking, let me just get through this. Let me just get through this practice. Whereas temperature cools off just a little bit, you can start focusing your mind a little bit more on what you're doing, and it's not so much focused on when is this going to end.
Now, last night was as comfortable as it could have possibly been. because you had like these storms that were kind of rolling in, so the temperature was dropping with the storms too. They actually had to clear the stands with the fans last night about halfway through the practice, basically when they got finally to the fun part. When they started running red zone, they got on the PA and they were like, hey, we're going to have to ask the fans to clear the stands. It's no longer an open practice to the public or whatever. So the lightning was flashing in the backfield. The temperature just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. I mean, it was as nice as it's going to get in late July here in Northeast Florida last night. And the players obviously tried to take advantage of that. It sounded like, Gus, last night too, they're open to the idea of moving more practices to the nighttime. If it's there's an opportunity for them to do that kind of thing, especially if it's, you know, like the back end or 3 or 4 days in a row where they're going to be out there for camp, the idea of moving it to that time of day so it's a little bit cooler for these guys, it sounds like that makes some kind of sense to them. Gus Bradley last night after practice also talking about Deshaun Gibson, who we'll hear from a little bit later on, and just how lively he is out there on the practice field.
He's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of spirit to him out there. I think the players feel that from him. So I think that adds to the energy. I think some of the things that we're doing in the defensive meeting and the way the players have taken ownership into it, I think that's infusive. So he's a big part of it now. He really has a lot of confidence back there. And I go back to it, playing middle third, playing half, he's back, he's doing some things like that, and just the constant details and the, you know, really strong focus that he plays with.
This is a critical guy, man. I don't think you can overestimate the importance of Deshaun Gibson. We've talked about that all offseason. I think here locally, you know, I heard, was it D-Rock? D-Rock might have been on a national show in the last week or two, and somebody asked him about, you know, one of the under-the-radar type guys, something like that. And he said, hey, I don't know if anybody's talking about it outside of locally, but I think here locally everyone recognizes he may be the most significant single pickup for this year that they've made to this football team because of how much they've needed him back there. Julius Thomas talked about him as well. We'll hear that coming up a little bit later on about the impact and practicing against guys like that. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for those Allen Robinson, Jalen Ramsey moments where – the other guy gets the one guy gets the best of one guy, and the guy who got bested is pissed about it, you know. And you want that to kind of raise the level out of these players, and Tayshaun Gibson is trying to do just that. Jonathan Cyprien, what about him? Gus Bradley weighed on the practice that Jonathan Cyprien had last night.
I saw him do a couple things today that I haven't seen him do in a couple of years, as far as an understanding of the defense and having flexibility. And maybe giving some different looks, but getting back to his responsibility. And to me, that's a really good sign. So he just needs to continue that. He's playing a little bit more man coverage, so that's good work for him. You're seeing some guys being displaced, so he needs that kind of work. But just his overall game, he's been pretty focused in OTAs, and you're seeing that same type of mindset now.
Yeah, Cyprien last night at one point during red zone, he got beat on a route by Julius Thomas. For a touchdown, probably from about 15 yards out. And the very next play, you know, Cyprien's back out there and shut it down over the middle of the field. So he made a play on the next play, but he got blown up a little bit on the rep before. So maybe that's a little bit of what Gus is talking about there. Gus also commenting on his quarterback, Blake Bortles.
I think you're seeing firsthand the importance of continuity and being in the same system. So he definitely is owning more of it. He understands the protections and where the issues are. And what he wants to attack. So he just feels, and I'm feeling a guy that's more poised, more confident. He's always been pretty confident, but just how he's handling it. And, you know, you see him talk to the offensive line, the receivers, and that's what we'd hope we'd see.
You mentioned Unique Ngakoue got into Bortles on Saturday a little bit, the rookie enthusiasm.
Running with the ones last night with Dante out.
Yeah, and apparently looking good, as our Rick Blue noted when he asked Gus last night about that in a matchup versus Luke Jokel. And here's what Gus had to say about Ngakoue's practice.
He has been impressive. His motor, I think, is the big part of it. He's got a high motor. Remember when he came out of the draft, we knew that part of him. We felt like he had that motor. And, you know, the question with him was, how is he going to play the run? He's been working a lot on the run. I told you we've been pleasantly surprised how he's doing in that aspect. But you did. You saw it today. Now, he's playing with a certain level of maturity as a rusher. And, you know, you hope that continues as well.
You look at his stats, Tony, in college. There's no reason in a major conference, the pass rush success that he had.
Yeah.
It's honestly, it's a wonder that he lasted to the Jags in the third round. When you just look at the resume that he brought, and he seems to be carrying that right over to the practice field.
Yeah, he's been impressive throughout the offseason and here into the early part of training camp. Of course, for defensive and offensive linemen, everything changes tomorrow when the pads go on. So we'll see what happens specifically on the line of scrimmage. With the pads going on tomorrow, Gus Bradley last night after practice also asked about Aaron Colvin, who obviously is going to be suspended for the first four games of the regular season, but is out there practicing with his teammates right now. Gus was asked about how Colvin has been around the other guys in the locker room as he gets them ready, too, for his absence for the first four games.
He's been unbelievable. He came to us and talked to us about, hey, I understand the situation I'm in, and I understand what we need to do as a team. These guys need to get ready to play. And if it means that I have to cut some of my reps or get them in different places to do that, I understand that. Been phenomenal. Been phenomenal. See him helping guys. And I think he's had a good couple days, too.
And finally, as it seemed to be a focus on the secondary last night, Devon House, Gus has asked about him. You'll also hear Tashawn Gibson rave about Devon House coming up in a little bit as well. But here's what Gus had to say about him.
Devon House wants to be a very, very, very good corner in this league. And I think he's driven to be that. So in the past, maybe he's talking about coverage aspects. Now you're hearing him talk about what else can I do? You know, I need to be a better tackler. I need to improve my game here. So he's really challenging himself personally to try to raise his level of game.
And yeah, I'm sure Ramsey coming in will spur that on too, right?
No doubt about it.
House was the best corner they had last year by a good margin, I think. And now it's presumed that he's not going to be the best corner on this football team.
A couple things here. Go ahead, sorry, Tyler.
I was going to say, going out there to the first time last night, I almost forgot we added Prince Amukamara. It's kind of a forgotten guy.
Yeah,
and who knows how much he's even going to be on the field.
I did the same thing on Saturday. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's Prince Amukamara
totally
right there.
About him.
He's such a little guy.
Another first-round pick.
Compared to everybody, all those other corners. They got some big corners on this team, and Prince just looks like a little guy out there with all those other guys. But Devon, I saw last night on Twitter, a couple different reporters tweeted out basically that quote from Gus that, you know, Devon House wants to be a very, very good corner. They just put Devon House's name, not his Twitter handle. Apparently he was searching for his name last night.
I guess.
Because he kept retweeting anyone who had mentioned that particular comment from his head coach. The other thing I wanted to mention as we're talking about training camp from last night, maybe the worst rep that I've ever seen for anybody in a training camp practice for Nick Jacobs last night. He had a play where he false started. Clearly, it was him that false started, and they just let the play continue. And he rolled out basically into the flat to the left and had a pass where he was just standing still right in the middle of his hands that he dropped. He had a false start and a blatant drop on the same rep.
That's a pretty bad combo. We're going to get a call here on the line once asked about Brandon Allen, but Allen had one of those reps on Saturday, too. That little rollout pass to the left.
Oof.
Where I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Jake. I forget who was dragging across the field, wide open in the flat, and what would you say, overthrew him by 5 feet over his head?
Oh, that was Neil Sterling.
Oh, was it Sterling?
Yeah,
it was Sterling. On the pattern?
Yeah.
And he's not a small guy.
No.
And
Neil was like looking at him like, are you serious?
I mean, he threw it 5 feet over his head, and it couldn't have been 20 feet away from him. It was not a particularly good look there. Let's get Isaiah in, who wants to ask about Brandon Allen, it appears. Isaiah, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Well, hey, man. Hey, Tony. I just want to know, is there any chance he makes the team? Is the Jaguars carrying three quarterbacks this year, or can it possibly be placed in the practice squad?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I think they'd like him to make the team, Tony, because I think they see in him what they hope is a long-term backup on this football team. He's got to play better, though, to earn that spot. You spend a six-round pick on him, though. They're not at the range where they can just spend a six-round pick and say, I didn't make it. You know what I mean? They still need those guys this year to make this team or to secure a spot on the practice squad. And Allen is a guy, being a quarterback who played well in the best conference in collegiate football, that could be a guy who's targeted off of your practice squad, and that's what you've got to debate.
Yeah.
He's not going to be active on game day ever. He's going to be, you know, if he does make the 53, he's going to be down every single week. But you look at him, and certainly there's some physical limitations. I yet to see him really drive the ball downfield with authority the way that Bortles and even Henny can do. And, you know, but that's why you last until the sixth round.
Sure. And look, he played really well at Arkansas the last couple of years.
No doubt.
And earned himself a six-round designation in the NFL draft. It's going to be interesting to see over the course of the next 6 weeks whether or not he can put enough pressure on the Jaguars to make him, you know, one of those guys who's just inactive on game day, or if they try to hide him on the practice squad. And if he's not good enough in the preseason, they probably can hide him on the practice squad for a year. But if he plays really well in the preseason, it may be something where, all right, he's got to be a part of the 53.
Right.
Just so we can protect him.
Quarterbacks are so sought after. And yep. If you put him on the practice squad and somebody tries to sign him off, you can sign him. You can move him up to the active yep. roster. But I think you've got to keep him there for 6 weeks, something like that at that point in time. So, look, the alternative is, start him on the roster and keep him there for 17 weeks, right? So maybe they will try to do that with the idea in the back of their mind that, hey, you've got a future here, Brandon. Do you agree that if someone approaches you and wants to sign you, we'll move you up? Are you comfortable with that kind of scenario? And it could be something like that. But you're right. I think how he shows in the preseason games will weigh into this heavily. But, you know, I saw some struggles out of him this weekend. But then again, you expect that out of a sixth-round rookie quarterback coming into his first training camp. Isaiah, thank you for the call. We'll take a timeout. Come back. This date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL. Straight ahead, it's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you all week long by our friends at Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, August 1st, happy August, everybody. 1969, the 36th NFL Chicago All-Star Game featured the Super Bowl champion New York Jets taking on the Collegiate All-Stars and winning a squeaker by a score of 26-24 in front of 74,000 people. 3 years later, on the very same date, Joe Namath, who led the Jets to that Super Bowl III championship, signed a two-year contract. Keep in mind, Tony, that he became the first 4,000-yard passer in the season in which they won the Super Bowl, followed that up with a Pro Bowl season in 1970. In 1972, after one more year, what was his two-year contract worth with the Jets? What do you think he got for 2 years?
2 years, $3.2 million.
$500,000. How times have changed in the National Football League. This date in 1975, the 41st NFL Chicago All-Star Game, the Steelers continued the tradition of the Super Bowl champs, generally beating the Collegiate All-Stars 21-14 this time around, although attendance fell to 54,000 down from the 6 years prior when we mentioned 74,000. So it was around then that they canceled the game and didn't do it anymore. This date in 1976, the expansion Seattle Seahawks played their first preseason game, the Seahawks losing 27-20 to a team that eventually would be in their division with them, the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, the Seahawks came into the league in the old AFC West. Famous birthdays for this date. Born on this date in 1966 and went to Florida State and came to the NFL and made a couple of Pro Bowls with the San Diego Chargers. Marion Butts was always one of Chris Berman's favorite guys. He's 50 today. Quentin Coriat. Remember, Quentin Coriat went second overall in the draft in 1992 out of Texas A&M. Was a beast on the field in college. Never really lived up to it in the pros. Was the he turns 46 years old today. Todd Tractor Bowman.
Sure, whatever. Bowman. The Shocker.
Off the Tractor, into the Jaguars lineup in 2010. He turns 44 years old today. Hasn't played a game since then. By the way, in the National Football League, four-time Pro Bowl running back Edgerrin James probably kept Fred Taylor out of the Pro Bowl in several of those years. He turns 38 years old today, born in 1978. And Mike Wallace, a bit of a forgotten man, now with the Baltimore Ravens, made a Pro Bowl back in the day with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The speedster turns 30 years old, born in 1986. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry right here in town on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton met with the media to open up training camp for the Panthers late last week. If you haven't seen any photo or video of it yet, you may want to check it out. Cam was sporting a new look with a handmade black hat, and he has frosted the tip of his goatee gold. The new look actually prompted linebacker Thomas Davis to poke fun at him a little bit, saying that he thought Cam might be going through a midlife crisis. Cam responded to the veteran Davis, who came into camp sporting a mohawk, that Davis might be going through a midlife crisis himself. The most interesting moment, though, in his introductory press conference, Cam Newton was basically asked to look back at the Super Bowl again last year. The look on his face is pretty priceless as he was being asked the question. Here was his answer.
Cam, when we talked to you last month, it was clear your focus was on the 2016 season. You don't strike it. You strike as a guy who learns from his past, though. And so I'm just curious, the week leading up to the Super Bowl, is there anything when you go back and look at it that you wonder if you could have done differently, if the team could have done differently, or do you live with zero regrets from that?
I think something that you can do differently is focus on 2016 season. Nothing personal, but I gained nothing for going back. I'm so, tunnel vision with trying to make the most of each and every practice up until this point. I think we've passed that bridge, and I've learned from it, and making the most of this team because it's two different teams, trying to make the best of our opportunity right now.
I guess that is the question, though, is what did you learn, as you say you learned from it, what have you learned from it to take to this 2016 season?
Well, it's more personal. I just can't sit up here and spill out my heart with things that I've learned, but, I'm a better person from it. Just know that.
I don't have a problem with those answers.
Me either.
I thought for a guy who didn't want to answer the question, I thought he answered the question a little bit.
And you should see the expression on his face. So it is priceless.
But again,
because he's got that smirk, his eyes are rolling back in his head. Like the beginning of the question, he's like, okay, where are we going to do with it? Where does he want to go with this? And then it's like, it's clear. And
right.
He's like, oh, God, again? Come on, guys.
Tony, we killed him for his behavior, in the post game after the Super Bowl. And I feel still deservedly so. But at this point, move on. He's like, hey, you know what? What do I benefit? What do I stand to gain from
him.
That? I back Cam on this.
At least
one.
He didn't throw out a JC like Belichick did last
week. Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Absolutely.
Calm down, Belichick.
Houston Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins has ended his holdout after just 2 days and will report to Texans training camp. Hopkins, going into year 4 of his rookie contract, has expressed to the team that he believes he has outperformed it. On that count, he is 100% correct. Having played with a slew of underwhelming quarterbacks, Hopkins has still managed to post back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, including 1,500 yards and 11 touchdowns last year. The Texans, though, seem unwilling to negotiate with Hopkins right now, and a lengthy holdout, given what Hopkins is getting paid this year, could have resulted in him making no money pretty quickly in 2016. Hopkins is going to talk to the media this afternoon. Colin Kaepernick has been medically cleared at the start of San Francisco's training camp, and head coach Chip Kelly said yesterday that Kaep and Blaine Gabbert will be splitting reps right down the middle to start camp. Kelly also not willing to put a timetable on when he expects to have a decision about who the starter is. Joey Bosa remains a holdout for the San Diego Chargers as both sides seem unwilling to budge. According to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, the two sides haven't even talked since last Thursday when the team sent an offer to Bosa that was quickly refused. The issue is over offset language and when Bosa's signing bonus would be paid. Offset language essentially allows a player who is cut to sign with a new team and get paid twice, which shouldn't be a real concern for either side, considering Bosa was the number 3 overall pick. Regarding the signing bonus, the Chargers essentially want to not pay it all this year and instead want to spread it out over the next 2, while Bosa wants it all this season. The Chargers are unwilling to budge on either issue, while reportedly Bosa would be in camp if the team would budge on one or the other. As Florio points out in his article, 19 of the last 23 top 5 draft picks have gotten their team to concede on one or the other of these potential sticking points, making the team stance a little bit more unreasonable. And finally, here on the Honda Drive, congratulations to Uncle Chaps, who joined us while you were out of town, Mike. He got a new job this weekend with Barstool Sports. So congrats to Uncle Chaps. It seems to fit him perfectly.
That's a great job.
Barstool Sports. Where bros hang out. Isn't that the kind of the subtitle of Barstool Sports?
Something like that.
Where bros hang out. How much interest what is Joey Bosa's signing bonus going to be?
I don't know.
In that range. $10 million bucks? Something like that.
What did Carson
million?
Get and what did Ezekiel get?
I don't know.
Right?
I'm asking. I'm guessing maybe something around $10 million bucks, right? Because you're gonna get like a 20-something million-dollar 4-year contract in that spot. And so the Chargers don't want to pay him all the bonus money until like next March, right? Well, what's the interest? How much interest can you earn on $10 million bucks between now and March? Well, Elliott got $16 million to sign. His bonus was $16
million. His signing bonus was $16
million. What's his total contract value?
4-year, 24.9, 16.3 signing bonus. That's huge.
That's a huge percentage of your contract.
What did Carson Wentz get?
What did Wentz get at number two, Tyler, if you could look that up really quickly and see if we can figure out if that's... Doesn't that seem like a high percentage?
Wentz got 18.
He got 18. All right, so 17 million to sign.
He got 4 for $27.9 with 18 signing bonus.
How much interest would you get on $17 million if you stash it? Let's say half of it, right? Let's go with $8.5 million. Let's say they want to defer half of it. How much interest would you get on $8.5 million between now and March? And that'll tell you all you need to know about why Joey Bosa wants his money right now. Right, I mean that's taking money out of his pocket.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy. What, you know,
the offset language is the stuff I don't understand.
You drafted him top three. You said he was a top player on your board, and you're worried about cutting him in the first 4 years.
Right, I mean it's a ridiculous stance that they're taking on this. The money side of it, okay, it's money. Right? Like, I get that part of it. You drafted the guy third overall. He was basically your number one choice in the draft because you weren't taking a quarterback. Because you still got Phillip Rivers. So this was the guy you most wanted in the 2016 NFL draft. And you're scared that you're going to have to cut him sometime in the first 4 years? I just don't get it.
Well, based on these other contracts, let's say he gets a $17 million signing bonus. He's going to get about $8 million worth of salaries over those 4 years. So that's an average of two a year. So what do you, let's say you cut him after year three and you owe him $2.5 million in salary for that last year. Is that going to break the San Diego Chargers? I mean, that just seems, for something that isn't it worth the risk, which is extremely low, that he'll get to double dip on the money you owe him compared to not having him ready to go to help you in a season where a lot of people think the Chargers can do some damage. Chargers lost a lot of close games last year. And if you just talk about regression to the mean, chances are they're going to win their share of those close games if they're in them this year. An improved pass rush will certainly help. This weird situation.
It really is.
Just be glad that your draft class is all locked and loaded.
Yeah.
Right here in Jacksonville.
And it's even stranger given that it's not like this is an unusual thing for teams to concede on with these top five picks. If 19 of the 23 guys in the past five drafts have had one or the other of these issues that the team has basically compromised on, then what are you waiting on, San Diego? It just it makes no sense, and every day that Joey Bosa misses is another day that he's a rookie. He hasn't been around for the entire offseason. He wasn't there for minicamp. He wasn't there for OTAs. They're just so far behind already with this guy. You drafted him third overall. Get him on the field. What are you waiting on, San
Diego?
That's madness.
Wasn't that the issue with Marcus Mariota last year? He was trying to get the offset language as well, right? I think he was trying to get it, but yeah, that was what he was battling for.
Which is the offset language for guys that are being picked.
You're drafting
so
a quarterback
stupid.
In the top two, and you're worried about. I mean, that's defeatist thinking.
It's not Robert
Kimbici,
right? It's not a guy that you're taking a character risk on late in the first round, and you say, all right, we're going to have this offset language, so we don't have to pay him if it doesn't work out.
And look at Mario. Mariota's like a choir boy type guy, right? Like, which is kind of what you're saying here. The odds of cutting Marcus Mariota are probably somewhere below 1%.
Right. He got a partial offset language. I don't know what that includes, but he got a partial.
That means he probably gets to offset only, he only has to offset some of it if he got picked up. He's not going anywhere.
No.
I mean, it's silly, and particularly with a quarterback. I mean, you got to get that guy into your system, but, you know, Bosa, maybe you can just line up and go get the quarterback, you know, and it's not going
to
hurt him as much, but
he better be.
I'd want him in there if I were the San Diego Chargers. All right, coming back, Tony, we've got Julius Thomas spoke after practice on Saturday. Tashaun Gibson spoke after practice last night for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What did they weigh in on, and what do they have to say? You'll hear that next on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is Alan Hearns, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Alan Hearns, kind of a quiet camp out of him so far. It's been a few days, but, you know what to expect out of him. They got a lot of guys, Tony. How many times do you find yourself saying, either when we were broadcasting out there on Thursday and Friday or when we're standing on the sidelines, you don't know where to put your eyes? Right?
A lot
There's
of
so
time,
many guys.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, you like to watch Miles Jack and the second teams in there. I was trying to do the same thing. But when you're looking at that, maybe you're looking at Ngakoue, right? I was watching a lot of Jokel and Beecham on the offensive line on Saturday and the matchups, because even without pads on, there's a lot of contact on the line of scrimmage, and you can see which guys are getting pushed around, which guys are not. Ajoku did okay. Again, Dante Fowler is going to be a handful for a lot of people, but Fowler, Ramsey, there's so many guys. Tashaun Gibson. Yep. Have your eyes on all these guys. That's a good problem to have for the Jags. As who were we talking to the other day that brought up, you know, you go back 3 or 4 years and everything was Cecil Shorts. It's all Cecil. Cecil looks the part, doesn't he, man? He's dominating. He had the one practice. Remember he caught the, like, 15 balls in one practice,
mm-hmm.
right? And just nobody could cover him? That's because the secondary was absolutely trash, all right? I mean, Cecil's a nice player, and he's a great guy. He was a great citizen and teammate and all those things, and I wish him well, except when they play the Jags. But you know what I'm talking about. He just it was a man among boys because they truly were a bunch of boys on by NFL standards. Out there now, you see some real competition.
No doubt.
Now you got a guy like Julius Thomas, healthy on the offensive side. He stopped by the media podium after practice and just talks about being happy to be back.
So everything comes back quicker. You know, you still got to remember all the different assignments and do what you have to do to play at a high level. But, you know, when the communication is better, the understanding of the offense is better, it helps you get into that rhythm a little bit quicker than last year for sure.
Yeah, so year two for Julius Thomas here in Jacksonville, and obviously everything should be a little bit easier for him. He talked also about you're going to hear from Tashaun Gibson here in just a moment, but talked about just the impact of going up against a better defense in practice every day, specifically there at that free safety spot with Tashaun Gibson.
You know, I think, you know, when you get a veteran player back there that's really built for that position, you know, it's going to make the defense look a little bit different. You know, just even as an offensive unit, we understand just, you know, how good a fit Gip is back there. This is his speed and instinct. It gives us a little bit to think about out there. So, you know, we're excited to see him back there, and we're happy that it's making us have a better defense for sure.
Julius Thomas, attention to detail. I like it. Gip, because it is Gibson. It's not Gibson. It's Gibson with the G-I-P. But what about the tight end group overall, which Julius Thomas now heads up? What has he seen from his fellow tight ends?
I mean, those guys, you know, they're really good tight ends. You know, Mercedes is he's the veteran leader in our group. You know, he sets the example. He sets the tone. He does so many things at a high level, comes out here and practices hard every day. Regardless if this is training camp 11 or not. So that's great. Nick's doing a great job. Ben, Bo, Neil, definitely proud of everything our group has done.
Yeah, Neil Sterling is still interesting as far as just where his spot is going to be, whether it's tight end or wide receiver, if he's going to make the 53-man roster. Like we mentioned earlier with guys like Grotz and McCray, you use the term the scholarship's over. Well, there's a lot of guys on this team for whom
right.
the scholarship is over just because of the level of competition they're bringing
in. And, you know, nobody talks much about Ben Koyak either, who came in with Sterling as well.
He had a bad night last night.
Did he have a bad night last
yeah.
night? But, you know, guys like that, I mean, the Sterling's not written in stone to make this roster. I think they'd like him to.
Right.
But he's got to go out and earn it.
No doubt about it. Julius, speaking after practice on Saturday, obviously was eventually going to be asked about his quarterback, Blake Bortles, and talked a little bit about where he is now versus last year.
Just like everybody gets a year under their belt and gets better, Blake's getting better. You can tell how much time he put in the offseason. As far as understanding the defenses, his understanding of our offense, the different things that he's able to communicate and see out there, we're very excited with what he's been doing, his progression. You know, the sky's the limit for that guy.
All right, then a couple more here from Julius Thomas. We'll get to Tashaun Gibson coming up here. Julius talking about something that has been a theme with the Jags. We got to start faster, right? Just in general, across the board, whether it's practice, but certainly offensively in games, we highlighted over the last couple weeks, 35 points in the first quarter of games total last year. Not going to get the job done. Julius Thomas talked about fixing the slow starts offensively.
Something we talk about all the time. You know, we have to, you know, doing our offseason study and seeing, you know, kind of how we started a lot of games was unacceptable, and it's something that we have to do a better job of so that we're able to stay in games. You know, it's never easy to win a game in this league, and it's especially difficult if you don't start fast.
Part of that consistency on offense is going to come with the running game getting better. The team adds Chris Ivory this offseason. Julius Thomas was asked about the new running back.
I think Ivory is, you know, he's everything that we thought he was going to be coming in. You know, fast guy, veteran, knows what he's doing, able to see the running lanes. You know, we're excited to have him running behind us. Offensively, you know, I think that that's something that, you know, we always want to do is be balanced, go out there and pass the ball well, run the ball well, and have explosive plays in the run and pass, and, you know, that's pretty much our focus.
All right, there you go, Jags. A lot of interesting skill position guys to keep your eye on, including Chris Ivory out there, Julius Thomas. That wraps up his conversation with the media on Saturday. Tashawn Gibson last night after practice talked about the night practice.
Oh, man, I think it's huge. As far as the recovery time, you got to think, man, that sun is draining. And like I say, it's a new demon for myself. You know, the first day, I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it to day two in training camp, man. It was just like a whole different animal for me. But, you know, I think that a day like this was awesome for the simple fact that the recovery time, you know, guys seem fast, guys seem fresh. Guys out there flying around, and you know, offensively and defensively, and I think that that extra 7 hour window from, you know, the practice time difference, I think that was huge for us. And as you see, man, it was a competitive practice out here. Offense made plays, defense came out here. I thought yesterday we came out a little flat, and you know, that recovery time and that time off, it kind of gave us, let us get our legs back, you know, and kind of just get back to being us. So I think that was huge for us, and Coach Gus can continue to take care of us like that, man. That's why Coach Gus the best.
Well, you again, that's all right. That's why. But you continue to hear about how difficult it is to deal with this. Tashawn Gibson's not used to it, right? Green Bay comes in. I hope it's 108 degrees at kickoff. Actual temperature, heat index 120 is what I hope it is when the Jags kick off the season.
They could give us Gibson and Bradley every day, and I wouldn't complain. I love this guy, and having the opportunity to talk to him last night was great. He was also asked about, obviously, one of the big new additions there in the secondary, along with himself, is the fifth overall pick in Jalen Ramsey, and Gibson was asked about what he's seen from him.
Oh, man, one thing that strikes out to you, man, the dude is, you know, he's just an athletic freak. One of the things that you notice about him, man, he's big, he's tall, he's strong, he's fast, he's aggressive. And, you know, I think it's that learning curve, man, just being a rookie. This game is a lot faster than the college games. But I think that once he continues to get his feet wet, I think that the sky going to be the limit for him. Like I told y'all from the beginning, man, his confidence, and that's the key at cornerback, you got to have confidence, man. I think his confidence is you know, far beyond a rookie. So I think he's past that curve. You know, I think that he feel like he can match up with anybody. You know, seeing one-on-ones, man, the first wide receiver he wanted to go with was A-Rob. And, you know, A-Rob, one of the best receivers in the league, so that shows you the type of confidence that he got.
Well, he's got confidence. He definitely, that cocky, confident, whatever you want to say. And that's fine. That position, you know what? If that's all it manifests itself in is in how he, you know, reacts to his job and preparing for his job in the matchups, that's fine. You want that guy to be overflowing with confidence because you're going to get beat and you got to just put it out of your mind and come back the next play and expect to be able to shut a guy down. Devon House, as we mentioned earlier, the best corner on this team last year. Tashawn Gibson weighing in on what he's seen out of House so far as a teammate.
I talked to Ceres, you know, about a week ago, man, and I told him, man, I think that he's one of the more underrated cornerbacks in this league, man. And it's my pleasure playing with a guy like him. I think that he don't get enough credit. You know, the signing of Prince and bringing in Jalen and those guys, people tend to forget about Devon House, man. I think that he's going to come up big for us this year, most definitely. And I think that when the lights come on, man, House going to perform well. And I've been more than pleased. I've always been a fan of his game, man, since the college days. I looked up to him coming out of a small school. And I think that he's been nothing more than he's exceeded my expectations for sure.
Gibson talking there about Devon House. And one of the big issues for this team for the last couple of years is just not being able to get the ball back from opposing offenses. It hasn't been much of an issue throughout this offseason. Through OTAs and minicamp, the team's been much better forcing turnovers. That has kept up through the beginning part of training camp here, and Tashawn Gibson was asked about creating more turnovers as a group.
I absolutely think. I think certain things in life is infectious, and getting the ball and turning them over, man, sometimes I think that's one of the things that, you know, I think that bringing that attitude and that swagger, and I think that people understanding, you know, what turnovers can do for, you know, not just individually, but, you know, for the defense as a unit. And I think that that's major, you know, and I think that all the guys in the back end, we pride ourselves on getting the ball. And I think that a lot of the guys, they feel, you know, they feel up to the challenge. You know, I know a lot of the guys, you know, interceptions and, you know, getting turnovers wasn't a big part of the Jaguars defense. But I think that tide going to change. And, you know, I can't say that, you know, I'm solely to blame for that. But, you know, I take credit if y'all give it to me. If you want to be a good secondary, turnovers is part of the game, man. You know, one of the things that, you know, the best secondaries, the turnover margin is crucial. And I think that, you know, Coach Bradley and Coach Walsh, they always harp on turnovers and getting the ball, seeing the ball, getting the ball. And I think that's one of the the turning points that's going to get this defense over the edge. Because if we get the ball and get turnovers, I think it's going to be huge for this defense.
And Tashaun Gibson had a knack not only for getting turnovers, but taking them back, you know, being very good with the ball in his hands. So he could be a big part of that, not just getting turnovers, but really getting impactful, game-changing, quick scores on the defensive side and setting up with better field position. And finally, Tashaun Gibson on overall where this defense needs to improve from where they were last year.
I think that the biggest thing, man, would I would say the Achilles heel probably would have been a secondary last year. I think that we all could agree on that. And I think that just going back there, man, igniting that fire, because it's not like we don't have the guys in the DB room. And, you know, that's one of the things that I challenge everybody in there, including myself, man. I think that, you know, everybody got individual goals as well as team-oriented goals. And I think that good defense lead from the back on down. And, you know, that's what we want to do. Instead of the back being the, I guess, the weakness of this defense, I think this should be the strong point of this defense. So I think that, you know, getting our hands on more interceptions, I think that Devon House may have caught, you know, all the interceptions in the DB room, maybe a side of one. So I think that things like that got to change. You know, good secondaries, that definitely can't happen, especially if you're giving up high yardage per game. So I think that that's one of the things that we pride ourselves on, man, and that's why some of the acquisitions that we brought in, you know, myself, Prince, and Jalen, I can't say that we're going to turn the tides and, you know, just hold everybody under 200 yards, but, you know, we got goals that we want to achieve, and we think that if everybody's gelling and playing and everybody's healthy first and foremost, I think that we could accomplish a lot of goals.
All right, there you go, Tashaun Gibson. Last night, I'm sure we'll hear a lot from him. He's going to be a go-to guy, and hopefully we'll have the success that a lot of people are predicting for him this year with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Coming up, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight, among other things, and check in on the text line as well at 641-1010, driven by Duval Ford. As the question of the day is this, road tripping. Where are you going to follow your Jags this year? What road trips are you taking to watch the Jaguars play in 2016? We'll take a look at that coming up next. On a Monday, brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today.
All right, coming down the stretch here, we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight in just a few minutes, asking you about road trips for the Jags this year. Where are you following your team on the road this season upcoming? But let's look at the text line driven by Duval Ford. Some questions coming in there, so let's try to clear those up. This one, not sure where this came from. Where is Cyprian? Does he still play for the team?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. And he's, I don't know where he is strong at this very moment, but he's out at practice every day, practicing. Maybe they're confused that because Tashaun Gibson, they play different positions. Gibson's a free safety, and Cyprian, as Tony has said, is a strong safety, and maybe that's what they're talking about. I'm not quite sure where that came from.
It was kind of like, I have been out at practice for the last couple days, and about halfway through last night's practice, I was like, is Josh Sample out here? Like, I hadn't noticed, I hadn't been looking for him, but I was like, is he out here? Because they were running a bunch of nickel, it felt like, last night, too, so I didn't know how many reps he's getting in the nickel anyway as the strong safety. I just didn't know. And then all of a sudden he made a pick. So I was like, oh, there's Josh Sample.
Right.
Like, I just wasn't watching for him, right? Anytime the second team defense was on the field, I was always watching Miles Jack. So I just wasn't paying much attention to anybody else that was on the field. And I'm not even following the ball, you know, for most of the time. Like, Sample made the pick, and I looked at the people I was standing with. I was like, was that Sample? And they're like, yeah. I was like, okay. Because I just wasn't watching where the play was going. I was watching Miles on that particular snap. But I've actually thought Cyprian's looked pretty good the couple days that I've been out there watching him here this weekend. I thought he was fine.
Yeah, it hasn't looked good enough or bad enough to note, to be honest with you. And I think, again, for him, it's going to be important when the pads go on that he shows that he's the physical presence near the line of scrimmage that they expect him to be, because that's supposedly going to be his strength now, and he was miscast without the true free safety on the roster over the last few years.
Yep.
I'm skeptical. Let's just say that. Here's another one on the text line driven by Duval Ford. How has Bjorn Werner looked in practices so far? Haven't heard a word about him. And I hadn't done anything. I watched him a little bit the other day and didn't do anything in particular that stood out to me. Now, again, haven't seen every snap of every practice because of our vantage point, particularly when we're broadcasting. But anything that Bjorn Werner's done that stood out to you?
Aside from when you pointed out that he was the guy wearing the pads on special teams practice.
Yes, he was on kickoff return. Well, cover it. Was he on coverage, I think?
He was on return. He was blocking.
Was he on return? Yeah.
Yeah, he was blocking, so he had to put the ridiculous pads on your arms.
The arm pads, yes. The little cones that go over your arms.
That's it. That's the only time I've noticed him.
Right. So not much, and I think he's facing an uphill battle to make the team. Somebody talking about, we were talking about Joey Bosa earlier and his contract situation. So as far as Bosa, San Diego has about $9 million in total cap space, according to Over the Cap. As far as double dipping, you only want to pay a guy. Do you want to pay a guy who's playing for another team? A, $9 million in cap space is plenty. Okay. You know, his contract's going to be $20-ish million and that signing bonus is going to be prorated. Let's say he gets 17. That's going to be prorated to 4.25 per year. That's the hit there. Plus his rookie salary. Let's say it's $2 million. I don't know what it'll be. That's plenty of money. They got plenty of room to fit Joey Bosa under the cap. And no, of course you don't want to pay a guy who's playing for another team, but what kind of signal does it send when that's your main concern of the guy you just took third overall?
That you're
going to cut him and he's going to end up playing for another team. You're willing to give this guy, take him third overall, giving him a $17 million signing bonus, and you're afraid that he's not going to be on your team for the full length of his rookie deal?
Switch it up. Say that it was Jalen Ramsey who wasn't in camp right now because of offset language where the Jaguars didn't want to have to pay him if they cut him sometime in the first 4 years of his contract. If you were a fan in this city of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you'd be losing your mind that idea was even in your franchise's head, that they might be cutting him sometime in the first 4 years and have to pay him while he's playing for somebody
right.
else. It's completely ridiculous that it's even out there still, that may be a reason that he's not in camp for that team right now.
And then somebody asked as well about why Pittsburgh wasn't keen. Can you explain why Pittsburgh had no interest in re-signing Kevin Beachum? Do they have another left tackle in place already? Alejandro Villanueva is their left tackle right now. I don't know how they feel about Villanueva. But I believe he came into the league with the 49ers in 2014.
6'9". He's
huge. Yeah, he is 6'9", but he's listed as 6'9", 277.
Oh, that's not very huge.
That's what he was listed as.
He was a tight end, wasn't he?
I thought
he was a tight end who converted to tackle.
Was he a defensive end? Because our lads still list him as an offensive tackle defensive end.
Okay. I thought he was a tight end. He might have been defensive end.
Regardless, I couldn't tell you the thought process behind the Steelers and Kelvin Beachum, although typically in Pittsburgh, pretty close to the cap as far as teams go right now. I may be wrong about that in this particular instance. I'm just trying to think. Usually, I remember in recent years, Pittsburgh being as close up against the cap as most other teams in the National Football League. Where do they stand right now, Tyler?
They only got like less than $5 million cap room.
Less than five million cap room, really close to the cap space.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, who knows? I think that the contract the Jags signed Kelvin Beachum to is one of the most creative ones I've ever seen. I tell people about this who don't follow the Jags on a regular basis, and they're shocked that they were able to pull something like this off. Basically, you get a 1 year trial, and if he's a really good left tackle. In your pocket, you have a four-year, $40 million extension that he's agreed to already. It's a team option. All you have to do is click yes and take it, right? I mean, there's no negotiating. It's totally up to you. And if he doesn't pan out to play at that level, then you say, well, thanks, but no thanks. Or maybe you try to negotiate a number a little bit less than that. But I think they'd love to pay Kelvin Beachum $10 million a year because that many came in and played like the guy they thought they were getting.
On the Duval 4 text line, the texter asked about Bjorn Werner and how what's been going on with him. Well, in yesterday's Jaguars camp report from Ryan O'Halloran on Jacksonville.com, he said Bjorn Werner has been stoned in all four of his chances in the first two practices. Josh Wells handled him pretty well, so it's not a good sign.
No, not if right now, I guess, your fourth best tackle on the team is just handling you as a former. Look, I didn't, when they signed him, no problem signing him.
No issue.
You know, see if you can use him in a way that better suits his game. They tried to make him an outside linebacker pass rusher in Indianapolis, and it never really suited him, and he never caught on. And sometimes, you know, you put him back in a system that you feel is more closely aligned to his skill set. Trust me, I don't think anybody here has been counting on Bjorn making this football team and contributing in a significant fashion. He'll let the preseason play out and see if he's got a chance. But right now, I would guess no, he won't be on the 53-man roster. It's only a guess. Tony Fan Feedback Spotlight, Twitter-wise, What do we get today in terms of Jaguar road trips?
We got a ton of fans from out of town is what we got on Twitter. It's always interesting with these kind of questions. From Duval Doom trying to work out the Thursday night football game in Trashville. From Ocho Ficho, San Diego, possibly Houston. From Mike, being in New York, they're all road trips. He says he's going to come here for the home game against Green Bay and Minnesota, then away versus the Jets in the preseason. Also going to Buffalo, Detroit, and Tennessee. So what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games in total out of the 20 they'll play this year there for Mike. From Irish Jaguar, not technically road games for me, but they are. The Colts over there at Wembley, Broncos here, and Vikings here. From Johnny, we got, I'll go to preseason against the Jets, Bears, and Bills. Undefeated, baby. From Cali Jag, San Diego with the BCBLA. Of course, it's only a 2-hour drive for us. From Zach, yes, traveling down south from Omaha, Nebraska to the Kansas City game at Arrowhead. From Stoff, well, living in England, coming to town for the Broncos game is a road trip for me. From Justin, have to be Kansas City so that they can see what real fans look like. Hashtag Chiefs fans overrated. From Jay, to Duval for the Packers and Raiders games and in Nashville for the Titans, possibly more. From Union Jack's Joe, that's traveling to Everbank from Wales, count as a road trip? Absolutely. He said he'll be here for opening day against the Green Bay Packers. And from Black Dog Express, Chicago, baby, 4 days, hashtag eat, drink, celebrate. So there we go.
Wow, it's amazing how many people listen to this program from outside of Jacksonville.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm going down the Facebook page here. One, Josh just moved back to Jacksonville from Kansas City, or else he would have done that. Kevin from Chicago. We'll catch Jags when they're up there because they only go up there every 8 years. Anthony is from Sacramento, and he'd like to see a home game in Jacksonville or maybe take the drive down to San Diego. Gino's from Syracuse, New York, and he's going to see the Jags play the Buffalo Bills. Dalton lives down in Orlando, so there's a lot of reach outside the city, and I love to see the fan base growing as far as that goes. And no, driving from St. Johns County does not constitute a road trip.
Question for you guys. What is your favorite road city to visit? I don't know if you visited them all yet, but what is the favorite one you've seen so far?
I've been to over 20 NFL stadiums. You know, when I've gone on road games, I'm not, I don't go to Nashville and go to the honky-tonk places.
The business,
you know what I mean?
Trip.
Like, Nashville, I truly would fly in Sunday morning and fly back the same day. Same with Indy. Usually, you can usually hook that up. I mean, I was in Seattle, flew in and out the same day to Seattle, for goodness sakes. That was a brutal one. That was the one they lost. What was it, 40-something to nothing?
Yeah,
that Mike Sims-Walker got suspended. Oh, that was the biggest wasted trip of all time. San Fran was cool. I think more along the lines of Super Bowl cities that I've been to. I mean, London was great because it's London, and I've never been there before, but... You know, I don't know. I haven't traveled with the team in a while, and when I did, it was more business trip type stuff. What about you?
Yeah, I haven't done a whole bunch of the road trips outside of, you know, the handful that I've done covering the team.
Right.
Like, I've done a couple where, like, I've been up to Nashville a couple times just to watch a game and wasn't necessarily with covering the team or anything like that. So I've done that at a couple different spots. So I don't have enough experience, I don't think, to really lock down an answer out of that question. I don't ever get to go and just watch a game. Anytime I go anymore, it's because I'm covering something.
Is there a city, though, that you'd want, like, top of your list you'd love to see before you die? A stadium?
To go see a game at?
Yeah.
Green Bay. And,
oh, absolutely.
There's nothing else close
70,000 for their family night this weekend, by the way, at Green Bay.
Yeah, I went to a preseason game for the Jags in Green Bay back in, what was that, 2007? I guess, man, that's a time ago now.
Yeah.
But it was fun. The people were as advertised and all that. But, you know, again, that was just more from judging it on the hour of walking around outside during the tailgate.
I was going to say,
exploring Green Bay, Wisconsin.
If I go to Green Bay, I just want to go see a game at Green Bay. I don't want to have to do it while I'm working. I would like to do it as a fan if I'm going to go.
That'd be cool.
I don't know if I'll ever get that chance.
Yeah, why not?
Because I'm working on game days.
Make it happen. That's true. But I don't know. Maybe you don't go see the Jags play. Maybe you wait until
the
bye week.
Hopefully they're
right,
home.
Go
and
play.
I can somehow finagle a ticket to Green Bay for
that
particular week.
That's the difficult part.
If the Jags make a playoff run, the Jags radio network continues all throughout the playoffs, right? Will you guys be covering the coverage there? Or
We cover from here unless they want to send us.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I doubt they're taking us on the road when us on the road now.
No.
With Tony, I'll be in Houston for the Super Bowl anyway, regardless of whether the Jags make it or not. So we'd like them to accompany us to Houston next February and get that done. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Julius Thomas, Gus Bradley, to Sean Gibson, able to bring you their thoughts after practices over the weekend. Tomorrow we're back out at Florida Blue practice fields as full contact pads go on tomorrow, and we'll look forward to some more closely resembling real football action than we've had to this point in training camp. So that'll do it for us on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey, signing off as the Midday Chalk is on deck. They're up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. Dandy Foods, lunchtime, it's go ahead. Go early. Go 7 minutes early on me, all right? It's fine. Lunch is here. You've been waiting all morning. You're hungry. You got to refocus. You pop into your local Kangaroo Express or Circle K and head right to the Fresh Case. Dandy makes the freshest, most delicious, most cost-effective sandwiches for your wallet. Great prices on these deals. You always get your money's worth with Dandy. It's part of their formula for success over the last 60 years. The Thompsons, a local family, created the company. And they started out with basic sandwiches and subs, and they continue to expand the menu. New breakfast sliders. Can't beat them. Get two breakfast sliders, thick sausage patties with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun. They call it baby brioche, and get them for only $3. You got the new sandwich wraps, a light alternative for lunch or snacking or anytime you're hungry. That's what I tell you. Tailgating, game day, no matter what it is, anytime you're hungry, go out and do what I do and make yours a Dandy. Do it today.
You guys have a good day. Peace.